30 million meals made from genetically modified crops are served to the nation's school children every school day. This leads us to ask, is feeding children GMO school lunches good for America's future?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, welcome. This is the 1332nd edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Christchurch who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, school meals are the only meals many of the nation's children get to eat. As those meals are purchased, prepared, and presented by institutions, they are most likely made up from the least expensive ingredients, including genetically modified crops like corn and soy that have been processed with genetically modified oils from canola and soybeans. Most genetically modified food crops have been re-engineered to withstand weed-killing chemicals like glyphosate and dicamba, or to be infused with pest-killing bacterium like Bacillus thuringiensis. Most of the food grain ingredients in school meals, the wheat, peas, beans, oats, in the breads, buns, and crumbs, have been derived from crops that were desiccated at harvest with the weed killer glyphosate. Now, this glyphosate was originally patented as a chelator of minerals, and as such, traps essential minerals in the soil, making them unavailable to the food crops. Furthermore, glyphosate has been shown to kill the microorganisms in the soil that make essential nutrients available to the food crops. Consequently, GMO crops require the use of more synthetically derived fertilizers, some of which contain toxic heavy metals such as arsenic, barium, and cadmium. These heavy metals leach into the soil and then are taken up in the food crops and are now found in wheat, corn, soy, and many other crops as well. The re-engineering of food crops has made it possible for one farmer to grow thousands of acres of crops without any weeds or pests. And so, the technology has been welcomed as a money-making miracle by those in industrial agriculture. However, the technology has left school children to eat lunches derived from crops drenched in weed killers and infused with pest killers, that so many of the nation's school children now eat these foods every day, leads us to ask, is feeding children GMO school lunches good for America's future? Who better to help us find an answer than Zen Honeycutt, who is the founder and executive director of Moms Across America, and the author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. Zen Honeycutt, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you to all of your listeners. It's really a pleasure to be back here with you.
Good. Mom the Warrior. Boy, you are the warrior, too. And you've been, when we last spoke 2 years ago, you're on the war path, and you've been on the war path ever since, fighting the good fight for what we feed our children. And in 2 years, have you stopped at all?
No, we don't stop. That's why I call the book Unstoppable. I mean, we take short breaks now and then, but we keep going.
Good for you. Now, a little about Zen Honeycutt, a mom with three boys.
Yes, I have three boys, and they're 19, 17, and 14 now, but when they were younger, they all had health issues. They had allergies, autism symptoms, autoimmune issues. You know, they couldn't eat. There were maybe 20, 21 different food allergies that they had. It was very, very difficult, and I didn't know what was going on until I learned about GMOs and really the related pesticides in the food supply. Removed those from my children's diet, and my children got better.
I remember you telling the story of going into your kitchen and throwing everything out.
Yes, Yeah, I did. I'm the kind of type of person that had to go cold turkey, because if it was in the house, one of us, maybe me, but somebody would eat it. You know, we wouldn't have the self-control. So we had to get rid of it all completely. And, you know, we didn't waste it. We gave it away to some people. But, you know, that's what we had to do in our house in order to make that total switch. So we went to 100% organic eventually. At first, it was just non-GMO because I wasn't aware enough about glyphosate. And then I learned about glyphosate, which I'm sure we'll talk about more, and went 100% organic. And my kids can now eat organic wheat and eggs and dairy, you know, all the things that they were allergic to before, they can now eat them. We still avoid nuts because that can make my son's stomach feel uncomfortable, but he won't die from them, which is what the doctor said would happen. He would have increasingly worse, you know, reactions to nuts, and he could eventually die from it. But we have healed his gut enough so that his system can at least handle it and he won't die from it. So my kids are walking testaments that changing your food to organic and avoiding GMOs and toxic chemicals can make an enormous difference in your health and behavior and in your life.
Well, what did the poor doctor say when you quit bringing your three boys in to be fixed?
Well, this particular doctor was an autism doctor, and I did that because he actually allowed a spaced out vaccine schedule, which is at the time what I was doing. And he got it. Once I explained to him about the eating organic thing, my middle son, when he had the autism symptoms, I took him to that doctor, and he tested him for bacteria in his urine, and he had very high levels of pathogenic bacteria like C. diff and Salmonella and E. coli and things like that. And he said that what happens is when you have an overgrowth of bad bacteria in your gut, there's inflammation that happens in the brain that ends up looking like autism symptoms. And that's what was happening to my son. And I said, you know what, why I think this is happening? And he said, why? And I said, because I think he's the only one out of my three kids that's eating wheat. The other two have a gluten intolerance. So he eats wheat, and wheat is sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent mm-hmm. before harvest. And wheat destroys the beneficial gut bacteria and allows for the proliferation of pathogenic gut bacteria. This is what I learned from Dr. Matthew Buckley and Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And he was fascinated, and he said, wow, I've been telling my autism patients to go gluten-free and dairy-free, but not organic. Maybe they should be going organic, because I explained to him, you know, that the glyphosate's not sprayed on wheat that is organic. And so we were going to cut that out entirely. And around the same time, we actually got my son tested for glyphosate, and he had levels in his urine that of a farmer that uses glyphosate on a farm on a regular basis. He had 8.75 parts per billion in his urine. And my other two sons did not, and that I believe that was because they were not eating wheat. So we sorted that out in 6 weeks. We got them the probiotics and the antibiotics and the, you know, antifungals and colloidal silver and sauerkraut and no sugar all through the holidays. And within 6 weeks, we retested him. His glyphosate levels were no longer detectable, and his autism symptoms were gone. And have only come back, if it ever, even just a slight bit of like erratic behavior when he eats GMO food, especially a lot of sugar. Like, he worked in a bakery for a little while, and he ended up calling the cookies there the depression cookies. You know, he feels a reaction to them because it affects his gut bacteria.
Wow.
And that's what's happening across the country. It's not just my kid. It's happening to all kinds of children. Yeah.
Well, it was Dr. Stephanie Seneff who sent me the heads up on your school lunch study, and I gave that a quick thought for about 1/1,000,000th of a second. I thought, oh my goodness, I have to hear about this. So tell us a little bit about the overall study, and why did you start? Why did you start a study? Why isn't the government studying this?
That's a good question. Oh, because the government doesn't really want to know. You know, it's too inconvenient. But we moms, we want to know what's going on in our school lunches and what our children are eating, especially, and what our children's friends are eating, because my children don't eat the school lunches, but, you know, a lot of my children's friends do, and they have health and behavioral issues. And we knew we couldn't just test for glyphosate like we have done in the past, because so many farmers are finding out now about glyphosate. They're switching to other harmful chemicals.
Like dicamba.
Like dicamba. Yeah, dicamba and 2,4-D and, you know, different other types of chemicals. So we made sure that the lab tested for 220 other harmful pesticides as well as glyphosate. In addition, they tested for veterinary drugs and hormones and also heavy metals and nutrients. And the results, Michael,
were terrible. So just a second. So we're looking for two things. We're looking for chemical contaminants that have been used for crop production. And now we're also looking for nutrient content of the food, right? Did I hear that?
Yes. Yes, we did. We tested for nutrients as well.
Wow.
And because we believe that the higher the amount of chemicals in the food, the lower the nutrients would be. We believe that the agrochemical farming has an impact on nutrients. Mm-hmm. And this is because we know that glyphosate is also a chelator. It grabs onto and makes unavailable the vital nutrients of any living thing it touches. It makes it nutrient deficient. It basically glyphosate, according to Dr. Don Huber, who's one of our advisors, he's been a plant pathologist for like 60 years. He says basically glyphosate gives the plant AIDS. You know, it strips it of its nutrients, like which would be its immune system, and weakens the plant to such a state that the normally harmless bacteria in the soil then kills the plant. So you can imagine what that's doing in our food to our children and our immune systems and our nutrients in our bodies.
Yeah. You know, when somebody says glyphosate, I always think of its original purpose, which was to chelate or bind the minerals inside of rusty pipes. So you could pour glyphosate in a solution in a rusty pipe, and it would bind all the nutrients in that pipe and
the metals and the residues.
Yes, and so that's what it does in the soil and in the plants and everything. So you did this magnificent study. What was the scope? How big was this study?
It was 43 school lunch samples, you know, different items from school, like sweet potatoes or sweet potato fries or a chicken sandwich or a piece of pizza or a burger, you know, 43 items. Some of them were duplicates, like there were maybe, I think, two burgers and three slices of pizza, you know, things like that. There were different ones. They were sent from 18 different cities in 15 different states across the country from our supporters by their own dime. Some people spent $95 to FedEx these school lunch samples. We really appreciate the parents, and we really appreciate the students who got that school lunch sample and brought it home. You know, it took some courage to do that, they paid for the school lunch or it was given to them for free, and then just, you know, to take some of that, put it in a bag and bring it home and freeze it. We really appreciate the students' participation in this.
So moms across America, huh?
Large testing. Yes, for moms across America and all across the country. And 40 is a statistically significant number. So the EPA and the USDA really they're not supposed to be ignoring this, but they are.
But not forever. Because Moms Across America is on their case. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to ask Zen Honeycutt, what exactly did the testing of school lunches reveal to the Moms Across America? And what the heck would what would they do when they learned what's in their school lunches being fed their children right back?
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back with Zen Honeycutt, who is the executive director, the founder of Moms Across America, and author of the book Unstoppable. And apparently she is unstoppable. So we wonder what the Environmental Protection Agency is going to do when enough moms across America hear and understand the consequences of this study of what's inside school lunches. When enough moms across America learn what's in these school luncheons, I think there's going to be some hell raised in Washington, D.C. What do you think, Zen?
I certainly hope so. And we are asking people to go to momsacrossamerica.org right now and click on the blog that talks about the school lunch testing. I believe it's about the third one down. There's also one, I think, two down. And to look at the results, which I hope I can talk about now, and then to send a letter to the USDA and to your senators and representatives, because it's the senators and representatives that are the ones that put forth a bill that would have the policy change to have safer, more nutrient-dense school lunches. This is a federal issue. Most people might think, oh, well, I could just try to get my school to change their school lunches and source food locally and get food from organic farmers nearby. That's a great idea. We hope you can do that. But most of the schools across the country right now no longer even have working kitchens. All they have are freezers and giant microwaves or ovens, and they just take those prepackaged, pre-made school lunches, stick them in a microwave or an oven to heat up, and serve them to the kids. They're not making food on site. So it's very difficult to get the food school lunch switched over when the schools are incapacitated. They don't have the capability to do this. So that's why this really is a federal issue. And we need to tell our senators and our representatives in the USDA to get on it and to do their jobs.
So let's give them some ammunition to work with. You took school lunches from all across the United States that moms across America and maybe some husbands too and fathers and some kids. And, mm-hmm. and they sent it to you and you sent it to a laboratory?
No, they didn't send it to us. They sent it directly to the lab.
Okay.
And they signed documents saying that these school lunch samples were untampered with, that they were not mixed with anything, that they were simply frozen and sent, you know, untampered with directly to the lab. So I never touched any of them.
Good to go. So, that would be too much touching anyway when it gets right down to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you tested for two different things. One thing were...
Many categories. Hundreds of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Two categories. One would be the contaminants in food that should not be there. And the other thing... Mm-hmm. Well, you were testing for the nutrients that should be there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's start with the contaminants then, and of course, contaminant number one, glyphosate, right?
Yes. So 95.3% of the school lunches contained carcinogenic, endocrine-disrupting, and liver disease-causing glyphosate. And when we say glyphosate, we mean glyphosate and AMPA, which is the acronym for the breakdown of glyphosate. And when glyphosate breaks down, it's even more toxic. So they test for both of those substances, glyphosate and its breakdown. And 95.3% of these school lunches contained glyphosate. And to put this into perspective, when the Detox Project did the most recent testing, they tested protein powders and granola bars and oatmeal cookies and things like that from grocery stores. They tested grocery store items bought off of the shelf in grocery stores and from Amazon, and only about 60% of those samples were positive for glyphosate. So our kids are getting the worst food that has been tested and recorded in America.
Poison.
For glyphosate. Poisoning.
93.5%.
95.3%. Mm-hmm.
95.3% of the school lunches we are feeding our children are contaminated with glyphosate. The consequence of eating glyphosate, and it's in everybody. Glyphosate is in all of us, every single one of us, because it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. What is the consequence of human beings eating glyphosate?
Increased chances of cancer, hormones, you know, changing, endocrine disruption, liver disease. One out of eight or one out of four, I'm sorry, it's a very big number now of people. It's in the article. I think it might even be one out of four now have liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And there's
one out of four?
I'm gonna scroll down. It was one out of eight a few years ago, but it's in the article. I believe now it's one out of four. So, and also, but until I get there and confirm that number,
that's okay.
I also want to make sure that your listeners here. No, it's one out of three. 100 million American individuals now have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. 100 million individuals. That's a huge epidemic. That's one out of just about, you know, one out of three, 1 out of 3.5 people. And it's doubled over the past 20 years. And what else has happened in the past 20 years? The amount of glyphosate. You know, more than doubled. Yeah. In addition to that, glyphosate has been shown to destroy sperm in four different ways, the form, the function, the mobility, and there's one other way, form, function, mobility, and quantity and quality, right? So it's destroying sperm. So it's making our young men sterile. And it also has been shown to androgenize female babies. So when the mothers were exposed to glyphosate, the female babies in the womb came out with an extended, a longer distance between their anus and their genitals. That's called the anogenital distance. And that is a mark of masculinization. So it's actually causing female babies to be more masculinized. So we have grave concerns for the other reproductive organs, you know, the other parts of the female babies and the male babies, and what this is going to do to the future capability to reproduce for our children in America. Glyphosate is a very, very harmful chemical. Don Huber says it's going to make DDT look like mouthwash.
Wow. And that's the weed killer that makes it possible for farmers to grow 1,000 acres of crops and not have to go out and hoe weeds. And
convenient for farmers.
Yeah, and having been a teenage herbicide, I know how miserable that job can be and how much farmers appreciate the ability to kill weeds with a chemical that appears to be killing our children and ourselves. One out of three?
And adults. Mm-hmm. One out of three individuals in America now have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
And what impact is this having on the autism rate that we see skyrocketing over the last...
Well, if you look at the article on our website, the chart by Dr. Nancy Swanson shows a massive correlation between autism and glyphosate use. It's what is it, like a 90.98 correlation rate. That is higher than smoking and lung cancer. It's a 98.93% correlation. We can see the difference too. Like I said, with my child with his autism symptoms, we got rid of them when we went organic, and mm-hmm. we have hundreds of mothers, if not thousands, that have told us the same thing. My child's autism symptoms cleared up 80%, 90%, you know, or completely gone. We've had mothers who are single mothers, low budget, got their kids on organic food, and by, you know, the coming fall, maybe it took 6 months, maybe a year, when they went into a new school, into a high school, for instance, and this one woman, Cindy, her son in Rhode Island, when he went into high school, the teachers couldn't tell that he was ever autistic. And he was severely autistic before. So all she did was switch out his food to organic, and she was able to recover him. And that meant that he was avoiding glyphosate. That is the number one most widely used herbicide in the world. And it's what's been found on, as you can see, the majority of food samples, especially in, in school lunches.
And then you also looked at insecticides, too. We have
other pesticides, insecticides. I believe there are fungicides in there too, and 74% of those samples contained at least one of 29 different harmful pesticides. And the highest levels were in a beef taco and pizza, but the next highest levels were in apples and bananas. So the fruit that our children are eating have very high levels of pesticides, and some of them are, you know, cause tumors and neurotoxicity. I mean, many of them are neurotoxic, causing behavioral and mental issues in our children. And, you know, nobody knows what those 29 different harmful pesticides are doing to our children all together, you know, synergistically. Everybody knows when you put vinegar and baking soda together, something different, something happens. But they're not testing those different pesticides in their reaction, synergistic reaction to each other when our children are consuming them. So these other pesticides are also of grave concern.
And the Environmental Protection Agency really does not do any testing. It relies on the testing done by the chemical manufacturers, correct?
Yes, yes. And they more often than not do not consider the independent testing done by individuals, you know, and people outside of the industry. They most often consider only the testing done by the, you know, the people who stand to profit from them.
Right.
And this was shown in their original interim approval of glyphosate. They ignored 67 studies that the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is under the World Health Organization, they reviewed 67 studies that showed that glyphosate is genotoxic and carcinogenic. But the EPA decided to ignore those 67 studies. They didn't even look at them. So they chose, you know, science from the industry that said that glyphosate was not genotoxic or carcinogenic, or at least not likely to be, you know, could be, but mm-hmm. maybe not. So they're choosing the science. It's called cherry picking, and they're manipulating the science as well. And there's all kinds of evidence of manipulation, like, for instance, cooking the skin from a human cadaver to make it tough like leather, and then exposing it to glyphosate and saying, oh, look, the glyphosate doesn't soak into the human skin. But
well,
fine, we can have commercials, you know, that show people in their espadrilles spraying Roundup on their sidewalks.
Yeah, those who say science is real should follow the money of the science to see how real it is.
Real. Yeah.
And there it is. You know, you look at Bayer AG, which bought Monsanto Corporation, which was the original patenter of glyphosate. And Bayer AG's got hundreds or thousands of lawsuits against it. And it just says, fine, we're making so much money, we can handle 100 trillion lawsuits. So there's a ton of money in this stuff. And when there's that much money, you got to wonder about the science that's being paid for. The other thing that you looked for were heavy metals. And heavy metals are often found in fertilizers, correct?
Yes, they are. Saralini and team from France actually tested Roundup and found arsenic and heavy metals in Roundup in, you know, the full formulation. It's not just glyphosate in there. There's other chemicals and sludge from petroleum products, you know, leftover sludge from, you know, the oil industry that they put into these pesticides, and they can often contain heavy metals. And also glyphosate's a chelator, right? So it grabs onto heavy metals that could be, you know, in the soil or, you know, coming from other sources. Fertilizer as well. Fertilizer is a big one. So, yes, we tested, and for heavy metals, the top four heavy metals that were found also in baby food, and 100% of the school lunch samples were positive for heavy metals. And one of them was as high as 6,923 times higher than the amount that is allowed in water. The EPA has certain levels, excuse me, of heavy metals that are allowed in water, and the levels that were found in the school lunches were up to 6,923 times higher. Some of the levels were, you know, definitely not that high, but we want the public to know that they were as high as that. Mm-hmm. And these heavy metals are heavy metals that have been proven to be neurotoxic to, you know, lead and arsenic and, you know, mercury. And, you know, these are heavy metals that have been shown to cause neurotoxicity damage. Arsenic, cadmium, lead, and mercury are the four. And, you know, for example, arsenic 0.010 is what's allowed, micrograms per kilogram. And what was found in the lunches were, you know, was hundreds if not thousands of times higher. That cadmium was also very high. That can cause kidney damage. Lead causes kidney problems. Mercury causes kidney problems. Arsenic causes skin problems and cancer. So extremely concerning, heavy metal issues.
In China, they've had a terrible time with rice because they've become so very reliant on Western chemicals and Western technologies to try to industrialize their agriculture. And so they've used so many of these chemicals that now the rice is frighteningly contaminated with cadmium, and everybody knows it. And so, what do you eat? And I was wondering, you mentioned baby food, and one of the most popular baby foods is rice-based, I believe. And I'm wondering if we're getting a lot of rice from China, rice-based baby food from China.
Well, that's a possibility. I don't know exactly the sources of the rice that was in the baby food, but we do have a lot of rice that's grown in the United States and in Canada as well, and I'm not sure that that rice is actually from China. But we do know that the highest levels that were found in the baby food were found in rice products and also in the spices, like the cinnamon that was in the baby food. So you can make your own baby food, you know, out of squash, bananas, mangoes, different type, you know, peas, you know, different types of foods that are that's organic, and just don't put any spices in, don't use any rice products, and you can eliminate a lot of the exposure of arsenic and heavy metals to your babies.
Good.
Of course,
and
you need to do the same thing with school lunches.
Yeah.
Not have them bring.
Okay,
you know,
we're gonna take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We do have Zen Honeycutt with us, who is the founder and executive director of Moms Against Moms Across America. And against the federal government that's not doing anything to protect our babies in their school lunches. So Moms Across America and Moms Against a federal government that's not paying attention. And when we come back, I would like to learn what we did not find with respect to nutrient content of food. What's left in the food after we pour all of these weird things that we're pouring onto our food? What's left of the nutrients? Right back.
History buffs, this tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place aboard the USS Dale during the opening moments, 7 December 1941.
As we left our berth and got underway, the deck force was still engaged in getting ready for combat. Fuller had the job of clearing the deck of all the wooden objects that had collected in port, so Fuller was making his way aft, just tossing stuff like a madman, when he came to the ice cream freeze. Before he could toss it over the side, one of the guys said, "Hey, wait a minute!" In a matter of seconds, the lock was broken and the ice cream distributed among the crew. So, what you saw that morning was the USS Dale steaming hell-bent out to the channel while the guys back aft were standing by their guns, eating ice cream and watching World War II break out all around.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on, and now you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-370-8128. 800-370-8128. 800-370-8128. That's 800-370-8128.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, The Guide to Growing in or Near the City for the City.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable. It's a must-read.
USDA Director Bud Kerr.
Big book. MetroFarm describes the agronomic, economic, and managerial concepts required to generate substantial profits from agricultural locales near metropolitan areas.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Moms Across America, what a great group. It reminds me of going to a Weston A. Price Foundation convention and seeing a convention hall filled with nursing mothers. One of the most promising things I've ever seen in my life. And Zen Honeycutt is organizing Moms Across America into an army to protect our children from the toxic wastes of our food chain. And it seems like there's an incredible amount of toxic waste. We have weed killers like glyphosate. We have insecticides and fungicides and miticides, and we have minerals. We have fertilizers that leave heavy metals. So, are we doing anything right?
Well, I've got to add one more that you haven't mentioned yet, and that's the veterinary drugs and hormones that were found in 9 of the school lunches at levels up to 130 parts per billion. And this was the highest level that the lab has ever seen in meats. They were very concerned, very high levels in meats. And these veterinary drugs and hormones are things such as hormones that promote the lactation of cows to produce more milk. And what was interesting when I found this out, the levels, how high the levels were, it reminded me of one of my dear friends is a school counselor at a high school in Connecticut. And she told me that one day one of her kids came in and was crying, you know, needed a counseling appointment because she was lactating in the shower. A 15-year-old girl, not on birth control, not pregnant, just started lactating breast milk in the shower. And the only reason why I could think that would be happening is because the extraordinary amount of hormones that cause lactation, you know, in our cow's milk and meat. And, you know, this girl is eating school lunches and, you know, God knows what else. So, you know, we really need to be thinking about what type of veterinary drugs and hormones are being injected into the animals from which we consume products.
What you say leads me to the question that just, you know, scrambling my mind. Do you think it's possible that school lunches are responsible for some of the gender dysphoria that's rolling across our land like a tsunami?
I would be it would be irresponsible of me to not point out that they are very likely connected. If you look at the number of endocrine disrupting chemicals that are in our school lunches and in our food, our standard American diet, you would be extremely remiss to not consider them as a major contributing factor to what is going on with our children and their gender identity and their, you know, I don't want to say confusion because some people aren't confused, but, you know, to gender issues happening right now. And it's a fact that the United States allows over 1,200 endocrine-disrupting chemicals. These change hormones. These change reproductive organs. These change the way your body thinks and feels about sex and reproduction and, your gender and identity, possibly, right? But they definitely change reproductive organs. And what there's one syndrome called the Klinefelter syndrome right now. And what they're saying is that between 500 to 1,000 children have this Klinefelter syndrome, which is they have an extra X chromosome. So boys are being born with an extra female chromosome. And 1 out of 100, when you look at the numbers of babies being born in the hospital, 1 out of 100 of them now have some sort of sexual reproductive organ disorder. Like, for instance, the hole of the penis where the urine comes out could be under the shaft instead of at the end of the shaft, at the tip where it's supposed to be. So the hole is underneath the bottom of the penis instead of at the end. 1 out of 100 babies, boy babies now, are being born with some type of, you know, disorder like that. That's an example of one. So people really need to be considerate of the fact that we have these endocrine disrupting chemicals in our society that's being allowed here and not, for instance, in Europe. They only allow 3 in Europe. And be compassionate with these families and children that are facing these types of issues, because it is very real that these chemicals do disrupt hormones and can be influencing, you know, how our children feel about their bodies. And the most tragic thing for me is not that the children are, you know, different or whatever, feel a certain way about their bodies. You know, I love everybody. Everybody's unique and you know, special and unique and has a certain contribution to the world. But 50% of these children that have transgender issues or some type of, you know, sexual organ reproductive issues attempt to kill themselves. And that is not okay with me. I, as a mother, it's not okay that any child thinks that they are so unworthy that they should die. And that's what's really tragic.
Are teachers eating school lunches too?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I mean, many of them bring their own because they go to the, you know, they go to the lunchroom and they can, you know, afford to buy lunch or bring their own. So I don't know what the numbers are about that, but
no.
The majority of the kids that get their only food from the schools are very low income kids. And, you know, their parents don't also have the money to support them with health issues that they have, autism symptoms, you know, autoimmune issues. It's terrible.
Well, let me ask you one more question then. With respect to what you found, did you find that there's any food left in the food? Any nutrients?
Well, you talked earlier about nutrients, and I have to say that we found that the samples were abysmally low in nutrients. More than at least 50% of them were very deficient in nutrients, and even more of them had very low levels, especially with copper. And copper is something that you need to have balanced out in your body along with zinc. And if you don't, what often happens is autism. So the children across the board have autism have an imbalance of either copper or zinc. And so I'm very concerned that our school lunches are contributing to the autism epidemic.
Mm-hmm. And again, the food that the free food that we feed our children in school lunches, or the low cost food that we feed them, were grown with very industrial methods that produce cheap food, but cheap food isn't, it never is, and what we're doing to our children is truly frightening. But what happens in the soil is that the materials that we've been talking about, from glyphosate on down, all have a way of disrupting the soil microorganism world. All of those tiny little bugs that make nutrients available, that chew up the earth and the organic matter and secrete it into raw elements that plants need, are disrupted and destroyed even. And leaving room for the bad bugs then, correct? Is that what happened, what we're seeing here?
Well, Michael, you're cutting out, so I can't hear you very well, but I think you were talking about the bacteria in the soil and how these chemicals and you know, can affect the soil. And definitely what happens in the soil happens in our gut, and what happens in the soil also impacts the nutrient density of the food. And so the answer absolutely is to get rid of these agrochemicals and GMOs that are being used in our food supply and use regenerative organic farming. And regenerative is when you use, you know, animals that graze, that deposit their manure and urine and, you know, break it up with their hooves and treat the soil like it was, you know, not even just a couple hundred years ago when bison roamed the plains and, you know, we had lush you know, plains and grasses and forests and plentiful amount of nutrients in the foods. We no longer have that because of the monocrop culture agrochemical farming. So regenerative organic farming is the answer, and we hope that when you go to the Moms Across America and click on that link and tell your senators and representatives and the USDA to do their jobs, that is part of what they will consider is funding regenerative organic farming instead of GMO, you know, monocrop culture farming.
Now, I'd like to learn about how Moms Across America campaigns. You're warriors. How do you fight? Zen, we were talking a little bit about the Moms Across America organization. Now, I see you as warriors, fighting for your children and the children of others. How do you fight? What kind of campaigns do you run to, you know, gain attention in Washington, D.C., because you're up against the big money?
Yeah, well, lunch testing was one example. We initiated the first glyphosate testing in America about 9 years ago, and now many labs around the world test for glyphosate, and many federal agencies as well, and over 60 countries around the world have restricted or banned the use of glyphosate since our initial testing. So we believe that speaking up and amplifying the voice of the moms in regards to what's going on in our food supply is a very important role to play. And we appreciate the support of our supporters, our individual supporters that donate $10, $20, $500, $2,000. We seriously appreciate it. This school lunch testing costs $1,000 per sample. That's just the lab fees. And, you know, Moms Across America runs on a shoestring budget, as you can imagine, we moms tend to do. And we would like to go forward with military food testing and hospital food testing. So we would really appreciate the support of anybody listening if you can afford to donate to help us get that money together for 40-plus samples of military food and hospital food. You know, there's many other types of food that we want to expose to turn this food system around. We want to transform the food industry and health in America and beyond. And with your help, we can do that.
Well, you know, as a veteran myself and as having a son-in-law that's in active duty, I, for mm-hmm. one, would love to donate to your campaign to test military food because
wonderful.
Military food is like school lunch food. It's institutional food. And institutional
yes.
food is always the cheapest food. Whoever gets the yep. contract to feed the institution has to come in with the lowest price. And so you do that by feeding the folks the worst foods. So in order for me to donate to your military testing campaign, what do I need to do?
You can go to momsacrossamerica.org and click on donate, and you can donate through the website there. And we are just gathering funds now for the military food testing, so we will just count those, you know, those dollars towards that.
So I could write on the check testing for military, and that's where it would go?
Or you could, yeah. Or you could donate through the website. We have a, you know, a portal where you can donate through, you know, credit card, or I believe it's still PayPal. We might have other methods as well on the website.
Well, I shall be doing that. And I'm going to encourage Great. All of our listeners to go to Moms Across America and send some money for this military testing campaign. It's amazing what Moms Across America has discovered that we're doing to our children. And mm-hmm. what we are doing yeah. to our children, we're also doing to our military.
Yeah.
And so please, ladies and gentlemen, let's all join in and on this campaign and win one.
You can be a part of it, too.
Yeah, yep. we could
can
all
be
a part
of it. By supporting.
And we could probably collect food and send it in, right?
Yes, you can. So just contact me at zen@momsacrossamerica.org if you wish to send in a sample. I would just ask you first to get the sample, put it in a freezer bag, you know, mark it with the date and, you know, the location and maybe your name and phone number, and then wait for further instructions. You know, email me, tell me you've got a sample or two. You can get many samples if you'd like. And then, you know, I'll email you for further instructions. We need to gather the money before we start sending it to the lab. So
okay, so everybody cough up some money. Let's review. Moms across America tested 43 different food items from the school lunches of 18 different cities in 15 different states for 220 toxic chemical contaminants. Moms found the herbicide glyphosate and its derivative AMPA in 95.3% of all school lunches. Glyphosate is a known carcinogen, disrupts the endocrine system, destroying sperm, making young men sterile, and masculinizing young females. Glyphosate causes liver disease, and the increase in its use corresponds directly to the increase in autism throughout the nation. Moms also tested for other pesticides, including insecticides, fungicides, and rodenticides, and found 29 different pesticides in 74% of the school lunches. Moms also tested the lunches for heavy metals like arsenic, calcium, lead, and mercury, and found them in 100% of the school lunches at levels up to 6,293 times higher than the EPA allows for drinking water. And moms also tested the lunches for veterinary drugs and hormones, and found them in the highest levels that the test lab has ever seen. Zen Honeycutt, is it possible that school lunches are destroying our nation's future?
Yes, it's very unfortunate, and we're also hurting the future of our country, and we have a fantastic, wonderful, beautiful country.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.